"Teacher, where are you staying?" And he said, "Come and you will see. Come and you will see." The dialogue that's been used and meditated on over the centuries as people's lives change as they make that leap of faith and begin to follow Christ and leave the crowd behind, like these two disciples. It's such an interesting story. You know, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. We had that last week, end of the Christmas season. And immediately he goes off to the Judean wilderness, which we think is somewhere pretty nearby. I've been down in that area. And after 40 days, not only had Jesus not eaten, but he also was hungry for company, probably. And so we find him, again, back in the area where John is baptizing. It's probably been a while since John saw him. And next to him is Andrew and another unnamed disciple. It's very important that there's an unnamed disciple with Andrew. And Andrew is, we know now, is a disciple of John the Baptist. So Andrew has the great privilege of having been with both John and then later Jesus. What a great background, you know. What a blessing to be with those two great, great, incredible figures from both Testaments. And a very unique experience. And so Andrew is standing there, and John is baptizing or talking, and he looks up and sees Jesus. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And Andrew knew that John was waiting for the Messiah, and he thought, could this be the one? And Andrew and the other disciple says, "Let's go follow him and find out." So they Jesus, of course, is mingling among the people, you know. Can't you just see him walking around? He's walking and watching, looking and listening. What's he looking for? Who's he looking at? Why is he there? He's just wandering around. He's looking and watching the hearts of people, watching, wondering if some of them might be his disciples. Doesn't have any disciples yet. So Andrew and this other disciple are following at a distance. They're sneaking around, you know. They don't want Jesus to know they're back there. They don't know what to do. They want him, but they don't want to get too close. They want to watch, where's he going? And so they're kind of, you know, stalking him, you might say. And Jesus, however, like my mother, has eyes in the back of his head. You know what I mean? And he waits. He waits. He knows they're back there. He waits till they're away from the crowd a little bit, then he goes, "And what are you looking for?" Wow. But they, you know, they, God loved them. They knew what to say. They said, "Teacher, where are you staying?" That meant, "We would like to talk with you further. Are you willing?" Was that line, and Jesus has changed their lives. He said, "Come and you will see. Come and see." Never the same again. And so Andrew is the first disciple, the first missionary, goes off and gets Peter, who apparently was not a disciple of John the Baptist, but was hanging around with his brother down there by the Dead Sea. And Peter goes and immediately gets a new name. And never the same again. That great leap of faith. And I took time with that story because it's once again, it's our story. You see, John deliberately, everything in John's gospel is deliberate. He's always inviting us into the story. That's one of John's greatest gifts. And the unnamed disciple is you and I. Andrew is being accompanied by us in the story, this unnamed disciple. And we are the ones following behind Jesus. We are the crowd in which Jesus is mingling, unseen, unknown, but he's watching. He's walking among us, even as I speak. He's really here. He promised he would be. And we too hear John the Baptist at every Mass say, "Behold the Lamb of God," or "This is the Lamb of God." The new Mass that's coming out, we will return to those words, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world." At that point, you and I have a choice. We can receive communion and go back to the lives we're living as if nothing happened. Or we can follow Jesus at a distance. We can go home with him. He can come home with us. What home does he want? This one. What home does he live in? This one. He wants us to come home with him, that we can spend time with him. Bring him into our week. This is what Mass is all about. It's not 45 minutes. I don't know about you, I want more. I'm not satisfied with 1 hour a week. I want more with Jesus. So did Andrew. So did Peter. So did the unnamed disciple, that is you and I. This is Vocation Sunday. I have to say that all of us who have vocations in the church, priests, religious brothers, sisters, we all started out in the pews. And there are probably some amongst us that have that vocation. Some of you had one, and you will have thought about it all your lives, and you chose something else which is equally beautiful. But if we have this vocation, we need to encourage others. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't encouraged by people who sat in the pews with me when I was discerning. I have a vocation story I want to share with you. When I was in San Diego, my mother had cancer for several years, and it kept me out of the seminary. They don't have their own seminary in San Diego, so I would have had to go out of state, and I didn't want to be gone for 9 months, you know, in those conditions. So, meanwhile, the local pastor down there was working on me. He kept suggesting perhaps I might have a vocation. I don't know why he said that, because I didn't say anything to him about it. But he was a real crotchety old Irish priest, you know. He said, "Oh, I think you might have a vocation now there." You know. So after my mother died, I drove to Portland for 2 weeks to stay with my sister, put my marbles back in my head. And then I went back to San Diego, and I thought, you know, why should I go back to the airline? I've been there 4 years. I said, you know, I don't like this job anyway at that point. I said, why don't I just enter the seminary? It was still time to sign up that year. I made an appointment with Father Flynn. God rest his soul. And I went and I waited. And Father Flynn never showed up. Father Flynn also waited, and I never showed up. One of us wrote the wrong time down. I think it was him. And more significantly, he thought it was me. So I saw him at Mass a few days later, or maybe it was daily Mass the next day, and I can tell you his exact words to me because it changed my life. You know, God rest his soul. He said, Well now, you've disappointed me once, and I never want to see you again. Crotchety old bugger. My mother had died 2 weeks earlier, which I remember that every time I see someone here, I'm in a bad mood. I think, my God, I ask Father Flynn, wherever you are, pray for me, you know. I lost my nerve. After that, I went back to the airline. I worked there for 6 more years because of that line. How many of you have had your lives changed by something like that, huh? I'll bet you there's a lot of us. That's why I'm standing here. Father Flynn is the reason I am with you and not in San Diego. Why? I went back to the airline, and I got a good job with them, and I got to liking it. And I stayed there for 6 more years, and I almost got caught. Very, very fortunate, because I had a really good job that I really liked. I really hated the one prior to that. But I went to a come-and-see retreat when I was discerning, this was about 6 years after that incident. It was called a Behold the Lamb of God retreat. And it was all about vocations to the active ministry, whether priests and nuns, or priests and sisters. And I was sitting here during Mass, and an image came to mind of me sitting in the parking lot at a place called Manresa Retreat House in L.A. I was in the car. I got out, and I thought, I'm not going through with this. I want to be a monk. I'm not going in here. I got back in the car, I drove out the driveway, and I turned around and went back in. Changed my life. I went in. What they did there was they had in addition to the retreat, we all signed up for an hour of adoration in private before the Blessed Sacrament. Does this sound familiar to some of you? And they put the monstrance on an altar, and they told us, now you go sometime during that hour or half hour, and put your hands on the base of the monstrance and see what Jesus says to you. And say to him, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Well, I knew what I wanted to tell him. I told him where I wanted to go. And then he told me that's not the right way to say it. You think, this is my third time with this homily. I think I have it down by now. He spoke to my heart. It was an extremely powerful moment. I found myself asking to become a diocesan priest. And I share that with you because God is calling all of us to have a vision. Do you have a vision for your life? Has God given you your vocation? Some of us are called to priests and religious life. If you're one of those, I challenge you to follow Jesus. But all of us are called to have a vision. Whatever my vision is, I'm going to attract things. If my vision is to collect stuff, I'm going to get more and more stuff. My vision is to sit and watch TV all day, that's what I'm going to find pulling around to me. What is your vision? God wants to give you a vision. This was my vision. And as impossible as it seemed at that moment, one thing after the other pulled in until it became real. Because it was a word of God. Our Lord offers this to all of us. I'm going to say again, we have the Adoration Chapel. You know, adoration is not separate from Mass. It is the Mass in suspension. It is when the priest holds up the host and says, "This is the Lamb of God," or soon, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's adoration. That's that part of the Mass transferred over there. The two go together. It flows back into the Mass and flows out of the Mass. It's not separate. That is John the Baptist. You are back at the Jordan River. He looks up and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Doesn't look like Jesus. He didn't look like the Messiah. People had to be told who he was. He didn't glow in the dark. You know what I mean? But you go there. You have your hour. Expect him to work powerfully. Maybe not at first. So many of the blessings we've had in our parish the last couple of years, I think, are flowing out of adoration. People going in there and pouring their hearts to him. And he's powerfully working, giving you a vision. Do I have the courage to follow behind Jesus like Andrew and the unnamed disciple? Is that me? Am I walking behind him? Am I following? Am I afraid to come forward? Am I sitting in the parking lot ready to turn around and go in the other direction? Will I turn around? Will I come back? Will my life change? Has somebody said something to me that sent me off in the wrong direction, like me? God will work it to good and bring it all to good. Do I have the courage to go forward? What is my vocation? My vocation is to be a good Christian in a world that does not appreciate it. And if you have the nerve and you give him that hour, don't be surprised if he turns suddenly and looks at you and says, "And you, what are you looking for?"